It is time for Second Shot with George Dunn and Evan Newsom. Second Shot, 2.5 shots.
Welcome back to the Second Shot podcast. I'm your sometimes host, Devin Newsom.
Sometimes host?
Yeah, sometimes.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Sometimes I just co-host.
We're both hosts.
Yeah, that's true. I'm your all-the-time host. This time, I'm the first host you heard.
That's true.
And the second host that you heard...
is me, George Dunn.
George Dunn, that is correct. He is here.
We're switching it up today.
We are switching it up. I'm running the show?
Sort of.
Is this a promotion, finally?
Yeah, I'm just too tired.
Do I still have to answer to you?
Yeah, of course. Okay. I'm still your boss.
I figured. I just wanted to make sure, boss. But no, we're back.
Still getting paid to do the same, just more work.
Yeah, I guess that's... I mean, sometimes you got to put
in... You're up for a possible supervisor position. We're not going to actually pay you for the work until, like, further down the line.
I can supervise like a motherfucker.
That's right. I can have you prove your worth, just show how much you really want this thing.
Most of the time when I'm not talking on the show, it's because I'm supervising already, on my own time.
Like, yeah, you're over there with a clipboard in the corner and like a Bluetooth you're just putting two fingers up to, like you're in the Secret Service. Just organizing everything in the background.
That's what I do. That's what I like to dedicate myself to my job, 150%.
150.
Yep. It's not a percent higher, not a percent lower.
It's true. I appreciate it. I love the consistency of your level of work. It is exhausting.
It is. You have to like pay attention. Mm-hmm.
Constantly focus.
Focus. You have to pay attention.
You got to deal with me talking over you all the time.
One at a time.
You know, see, I don't even get mad about that. That's just good conversation. It's just ideas sparking at any random moment, just as they naturally were intended to be sparked.
Mm. Yes. You know? That's just shouting. Oh, I remember Batman. He was good. It was good.
I constantly see, like, I posted that picture on Instagram. I just constantly see Batman all the time.
Oh, the penguin thing?
Yeah, it's just a penguin, a toy penguin next to an umbrella. Like,
The umbrella looked like I think it's the Seventh Doctor's umbrella. It's the very last of the original Doctor Who's. He just had an umbrella with a question mark for a handle. It was really awful.
So it was like Penguin mixed with the Riddler?
Sort of. He was just really goofy. He was like the most kiddy. Well, that's not true. There was a guy who had... There was a bunch of them. But like, he was very kiddy. But then his sidekick was like this punk rock girl. Like hardcore. Like, I think she had a mohawk and everything. Like, it was real like... Wow. They weren't fucking around on the Doctor Who.
Yeah. Because it's a mohawk. You'd know it's punk.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. No questions.
Yeah.
What do we do next when you host? You say, "Oh, what did you do this week? Did you do anything?"
We'll introduce the guest, or we could...
fuck the guest.
Yeah, fuck the guest. We'll wait until he comes.
No,
you or actually we could do. How's your week thing?
You already heard him sipping. You heard him sipping.
I'm sipping some coffee.
He is. You know him as Cleveland's finest.
Cleveland's finest sipper.
Hey. Cleveland's finest sipper. And
how are you?
And look at that, like the golden voice boy.
Hey.
Benjamin Grimes.
It's my radio voice. How's it going?
That's not too far off from your regular voice. It's just a slight... Yeah. For people who know you, that's kind of what you sound like, but there is a different tone to it on the radio.
I'm gonna keep it smooth, you know.
Ooh, like Santana.
Relax.
Yeah, that's better for internet radio. Yeah, that's a good internet radio.
You just listen to a number by George Dunn. I've never done this before.
You ever hear like radio talk?
Is that what you sounded like when you had sex? you just listened to a song by someone I know?
It's really awkward, and I don't know how to speak.
Do you think that would make the first time better is if you introduced a song? Or just like had the name and title of whatever sex song it was playing at the time?
I know this person. Yeah, He slept on my couch once. He said he would buy me breakfast in the morning as reciprocation, but he just kind of left before I woke up. He's a good musician, so I let it slide. But like, I just so anyway. Here's potty mouth. And
do the thing.
I think that would be good. Nice and informative. There's no worry. Like, you don't want. You don't want your partner's mind wandering about who was that song by?
You want them in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. You want them to know the song, know whatever that person has done.
Yeah, that is
think
really
about
important.
That artist's work Absolutely. While you're doing the business inside of them or
Whoa.
around Whoa. The outside of them. Sorry.
Around the outside.
It's 2018.
Around the outside. Nah. It is 2018.
Eminem.
Which is, it's about 25 years almost since our movie, our subject.
Oh yeah.
Came out, Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumberer.
No.
The story that how Harold met Lloyd, right? Or whatever.
When Harry met Lloyd. Now, George, you are not a fan.
No.
But is it true you are related to Harry Dunn from Dumb and Dumber?
I am. I wish I were related to I'm blanking on his name now.
Jeff Daniels,
yes. Thank you. Because boy, is he a wonderful actor.
He's amazing.
Well, I want to like preface my dislike of this film. I feel like we've still got this new setup where two of you are staring at me. Now I know if it feels like to be one of our guests.
I know, it's like intimidating.
It would be tough.
I like the attention though, I'll say that. I would consider Jim Carrey like an idol of mine.
Okay.
Like, I mean, The Mask and Ace Ventura 2 were like huge when I was a kid.
Okay. Not even one, two.
Yeah, two.
Two's a funnier movie.
It's fair.
I think that's fair. Like, consistently funnier. Mm. But this movie, like when I was a kid, I was like, okay, you know, there's some funny stuff. I think what really bugged me was before memes were a thing, it was the over memification of like I like you a lot and stuff like that. Like that kind of stuff where it's just like, I don't know, my mom did it, you know, like that kind of thing. Or
she ruined it for you.
It got really lame.
It was like the original my wife.
It's your mom's fault.
Kind of. Well, I mean, yeah, it is my mom's fault. I blame.
What else did your mother do?
She she accepted food from churches. That's why I can't do it anymore.
Gross.
Can't do food or churches?
Both.
Well, you better fucking do churches. Like, you need that to live.
I love that band, but I can't do that. I can't do the thing.
Cult food.
So you didn't like all the quotables, like over quotables of this movie?
Yeah, I think it's this. I always lumped this movie in with movies like Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
And
Road Trip Comes.
Not even the road trip thing, but just like there was a certain group of people that liked a certain group of movies, like okay. Happy Gilmore, Tommy Boy, Dumb and Dumber. And they were always just kind of like the quote-unquote bullies that I and my cousins.
That's fair.
And I just, they were just people I didn't like these things. Okay. So I'm like, you know, like I kind of, of the four or five of those movies, like Dumb and Dumber was the one where I'm like, okay, yeah, Jim Carrey's funny. I'm cool with that. Yeah.
It's beyond that, though, and I do want to get into that.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see what, because rewatching it, I watch it. And I'm just like, you know, there's some funny parts, but sure. Like, I'm interested why it has stood the test of time, because this is not a movie that I could.
It's not a Billy Madison or a Happy Gilmore. It's beyond.
Well, I feel like
it's similar. Like, it's within that world, and I understand what you mean by that. But it's there's more going on here than just meets the eye, and I think
like
that's it's really just Jim Carrey's kind of performance in it. Like, this is his breakout thing, and there was a lot of key brilliant kind of acting things that he did that that make it more than just your average comedian kind of trying to play this character.
I mean, he was born to do this role. Ace Ventura were like the two things.
Totally.
I mean, they're not that far off.
Yeah, Jim Carrey is definitely on another level than a guy like Adam Sandler.
Oh, for sure.
A guy like Chris Farley. I mean, Chris Farley, obviously legendary status, but Jim Carrey is just like, he was a
he might be the closest one that can really do some of that like deep character. Well, I wouldn't say
yeah,
deep comedic character.
I mean, obviously his life was cut short and didn't get to do a lot of stuff that he maybe could have went on to do.
He was a good actor, and he had a sympathy that you, like someone like Adam Sandler just doesn't give.
Yeah, you can't really get that from him outside of a couple of his later
serious movies. Got the sad thing going on in the mid-2000s, but even that, he squanders all of that potential, and that's, you know, you can listen to the Hate Flow episode that I was on to hear my rant about Adam Sandler, but go ahead.
I agree with you, Ben. Like, Jim Carrey is a huge part of this movie. I was a huge Jim Carrey fan growing up as well. Like, but you, I know you, Ben, as like a super fan of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've always been the person that can quote every line. Mm-hmm. And like,
I try not to because I know how annoying that is when you're watching a movie with somebody. It's like,
but like, yeah, literally, I feel like I could sit you down and you could like walk through scene for scene, like every part of that.
Well,
movie.
I grew up, I probably saw this movie, I don't know how many times in my life, over 400, I'd say. Because when I was like six, that's when my grandpa and my cousins and everybody, it was like the family movie that we'd watch,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the time. And my grandpa loved it, and that kind of like made me like it because we all had like this. And then growing up more and more and watching Jim Carrey just doing this, I wanted to be like that character, like that kind of goofy. So I stole his like comedic style and just this goofiness. Just latched on.
Well, he's a good one for kids, like, because all you have to do is wave your arms around. And you're like, I'm doing Jim Carrey.
Look at how crazy that guy is. I've never seen an adult act like that
before.
Hilarious.
It's like Robin Williams, too.
Right.
Like,
Robin
Williams. Who didn't want to talk out of their butt? You're like 10 years old.
I wasn't allowed to watch Ace Ventura, but I did. Like,
yeah, that one's pretty. That one's.
It's a bit raunchier than spicy, like it's like even The Mask like has its moments of like it's like there's a lot of overt sexual themes in that movie, but like so The Mask is like cartoony.
Funny thing about The Mask, that was filmed before Dumb and Dumber,
mm-hmm.
and Mary Swanson was asked to she was asked to play in Ace Ventura, but she turned it down.
What's her name? It's like
it's Holly
something, right?
Or it's something Holly. Lauren Holly. Yeah, and then her and Jim Carrey like fell in love during the making of Dumb and Dumber, and then they broke up after a year.
Yeah.
So they got married.
Too many prescription pills. And
never knew that.
Yeah, one of those. Jim had some questionable moments.
We could talk about Jim Carrey's current career later.
Yeah, we can get into that in a little bit. I was just thinking about it. I saw he has a new show coming out.
He's like working again, but like his whole persona is that he doesn't need to work.
Exactly.
His whole thing is like, it's just about art.
I'm not even
Jim Carrey.
Hollywood's bullshit.
Transcended this face.
Yeah, but you made a Dumb and Dumber sequel.
Right. Yeah. I think the money. So he got at first they were paying him $350,000 to do Dumb and Dumber.
What?
And after he had a breakthrough year with Ace Ventura and The Mask, and he got it up to $7 million before they released Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber got released in December of 1994, so it was like the later, just right at the end.
Okay.
So he got him to $7 million, and then they released it, and he was like the first actor to ever have
he was like that
much success.
Boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. And where was I going with that?
We were just talking about how he is huge, and he makes this movie like... It's surprising to me that there's somebody who's just, like, blown away by this movie. Like, I've encountered people who are like, the humor's dumb. Humor's, like, really just childish, and which I can see. But
I can see
to me,
well.
That doesn't take away its enjoyment. But, like, I'm surprised you don't like it, George, like, being that we have similar, like, comedic tastes. Like, we've always loved, like, kind of goofy stuff, like Tim and Eric and all that goofy jazz. But... like, it's surprising to me that this wasn't, like, a strong hit for you, especially knowing now you love Jim Carrey, too.
Well, like, I mean, I think a lot of it is holding on to a very specific sour grape, you know? Like, but I don't know. I feel like it's more of I don't like the Farleys.
Okay.
Like, I don't really like anything they've put out. Like Something About Mary, Kingpin is one where everyone's like, "Oh, you got to see Kingpin." But I just
is the Farleys or Farleys?
I guess it's Farleys. I don't know. I always call them Farleys.
You're just talking about the Farleys or Chris Farley.
Yeah, and Farley Brothers. Yeah, it is. I always call them the Farleys for some reason.
And I'm with you on that too. Like, I'm not a huge Farley Brothers fan. It's not their writing or any of that that really did it for me. And they had to shoot this whole movie around. Nobody wanted to buy it. Nobody wanted to film it. None of like the film studios that they would get wanted to do it.
It's weird because it looks expensive for a 90s comedy.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like they put money and time into it.
$16 million budget. Jim Carrey got paid $7 million out of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, put that in its own. It's nobody else could have done it, though. I mean, Jeff Daniels does a great job. The cop in the movie, the trooper, he was going
Harlan
to,
Williams.
Yeah, he was going He's to awesome. Be, he was going to have Jeff Daniels' spot.
Really?
Not really.
I do love Harlan Williams. And I was going to say, like, well. Jeff Daniels, I think, rewatching this really steals the show for me.
He does great.
Like,
yeah,
he's much more subtle, which as subtle as this movie can get.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like always talks about the poop scene, the diarrhea scene. Yeah. And just like people say it's like the iconic, like the diarrhea scene, which is like a weird thing to say in the first place. But it's fine. It's like, I mean,
pretty good.
There's some moments where he like gets surprised and laughs at his own farts, and that's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. But I think it's like grabbing his leg and like just really planting himself on the ground. I'm like, oh.
I can't remember who it was. I saw someone had like an artist rendering of that where his legs were in the air, and they bought it for their dad to put it next to their toilet. And I'm just like, I'm glad they like it, but I don't get that. Like, of all the diarrhea scenes and all of the shitty movies, you know, ever. That one just seemed very middle of the road. But I guess, it's 25 years old.
Yeah, and again, it sticks out because of the situation of the movie, too, just what Lloyd does pouring the...
yeah.
I like you, because you're a regular guy, Harry. Yeah.
I like you, Harry.
Jeff Daniels does great throughout, like, that the scene when he's on the date with Mary... And it, like the genuine anger he gets, like just stupid moronic anger at the snowball fight, and it, like it's so good.
He just takes it to the weird of like, oh, I don't know, it's all funny. It's like,
well, that's like the I guess my thing with the Farrelly brothers is their tone or their comedic style is just really strange and not like. Like Tim and Eric Strange or something like that. But it's like, I don't know where they're like, sometimes they're going towards like Three Stooges, which is they've directed the Three Stooges movie. Yeah. And sometimes they're just going cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like they just kind of, it seems like slapdash. Mm-hmm. It never seems like they have a consistent tone.
Yeah.
And that's where I kind of like the poop scene and a scene like, and the poop scene and the the hamburgers with the hot peppers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are, like, almost two sides of the same coin. But, like, I feel like the hamburger thing is dealt with in such, like, a graceful tone of, like, yeah, they're stupid. They're goofy. They're laughing at their thing, and they're trying to push them to eat the hamburger and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's big, but it feels constrained. It feels like they're really taking their time with the scene. And then the poop scene is just, like, here's everything. Here's just like, there's just like literally like it's only a minute, maybe two. But it's just like, they just like hammer it home where I feel like a joke like that is just funnier when it's like, if he had pooped his pants, say, he notices it and he just like, it's more subtle. It's not a lot of like fart noises.
Yeah.
You know, it's like someone it's pressing a button
poop,
a lot.
Poop humor.
Yeah. Just, I'm cool with poop humor. Don't get me wrong.
You're just saying this is like too much poop humor at once.
I feel like there's just, there's no grace to that scene.
Yeah.
Which is, I know,
you
again,
want a poop humor scene.
You want
scene
a graceful
grace.
I get the absurdity of saying there's no grace to
in
a
dumb and
diarrhea
dumber.
Scene.
You like, want graceful, dumb and dumber poop.
Well, there's a craft to that kind of stuff. And I feel like it's just not, it's not there. But it shows up in other scenes. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like one brother is working and then the other one isn't. And, like, they switch off and it's like... I know that's probably not true.
Well, that's kind of the brilliance of the movie, though. It's like, I'm sick and tired of having nobody.
Yeah, that's serious.
Like, you have these very serious moments where that you can't look at as a joke. Where it's like, you kind of feel bad for him. And then you have these crazy moments where they're killing a guy in a diner and just laughing in his face. And then somebody... taking a giant shit on the toilet, and then it goes back to, like, I don't know, cutesy love story.
You, like, feel bad for him, and then you, like, you don't, and you're like, he's a terrible person.
He's terrible people when you really look at it.
Because, like, literally right after that, because that scene when he's like, I'm sick and tired of having nobody, like, that scene moves me every time I see it, no matter what. And the very next...
that's Jim, though. That's Jim.
That's
also
Jim, yeah. And then, but then the very next scene is when you find out he sold the dead bird to the blind kid in their building, and you're like, oh, he's a shitbag.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Like, what is his name? Larry?
Lloyd.
Yeah. Lloyd is like a really bad guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't like, I feel like the movie kind of knows it, but doesn't want the audience to know that.
Yeah.
And that's where I get a little like, because I feel like Harry's a good guy, generally. Like, he's an idiot, and he, like, loses his temper in the sense of, like, beating a girl he's on a date with.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about that, though, because that's a pretty important part. When I told you that I didn't really love that scene when in the hot tub.
Oh, yeah.
See, this is what I thought you were going to do with this movie, is, like, poke holes in kind of this plot, which you easily could. Mm-hmm. And that's not why I love the movie.
It's a comedy plot.
It's all over.
It's contrived. It's whatever.
But, like, did they just put that scene in the movie thinking that there might be a sequel one day and this is what we could work off of?
Is that what the sequel's about?
Yes.
It's about that one scene. I don't think they wrote that for the sequel. I feel like that's more character-based.
Freda Felcher.
Yeah, about Lloyd sleeping with his crush. And then that's why Harry doesn't feel bad about going with Mary Swanson.
Mm.
And this whole like little love square, I guess it's not really a triangle, but this love square that they're trying to create, it kind of falls short, and it's a little dumb and a little dumber too. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean,
it's a contrived comedy story, and like that's like forgivable.
Yeah,
it's like most comedies, you're not watching the story,
sure.
Like, especially these kind of
things.
I
want to see him get the suitcase to ask.
Yeah, really, and it's the ex girlfriend thing. I feel is more to create a back and forth of this underlying like bitterness between the two of them.
Sure.
While they're still best friends, there is this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's more just contrived conflict,
mm-hmm.
in the sense of like, in the same way, like they didn't need that scene of him going on the date with, what's her name?
It's Mary.
Yeah. Which is, it's funny.
It's funny.
But you know, you setting up the tongue on the pole thing and everything,
sure,
like that.
Yeah.
But in terms of the story, it really doesn't add anything. Like, you
the
take
suitcase.
That.
Well, I mean, if you were looking at it from a plot line, it'd be like two guys take a suitcase and a car, and then one of them.
Yeah.
You know, like if you really want to strip it down, but.
Yeah, this whole movie is just a bunch of segments.
Sure.
You know, it's like fucking Monty Python and the Holy Grail or stuff like that. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Story is third in this movie.
Yeah, it's a really small story. Like, picks up briefcase, then they take it to girl, and then villain shows up, then it's over.
Yeah.
Is like what the story is.
Like, I don't even know who the villain is.
That's
in
another
the
weird
world
thing.
Of her
Mary's
life.
So Mary's boyfriend, or is it her husband?
Husband.
He got kidnapped, mm-hmm. and then held for ransom by.
Which, this story comes in about 45 minutes.
This is another weird plot line. It's like, what is why? And then I don't know. So he gets kidnapped. They have to give him the money, but Lloyd grabs the suitcase. He can't come back because I don't know. That's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, like,
go ahead.
The bad guy is like a family friend or something. And
yeah, he's just a guy who put up the money, but don't they already have money?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
I thought
who's
he put up the
guy?
Money.
Who's the guy?
He doesn't put up the money. He's trying to, he sets up the whole kidnapping. So. They'll give up the money. Mary gives up.
I get that, but how
money.
Does he know Mary?
It's like a family friend or something, just rich people acquaintance or something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then he's placed himself in the position of, oh, I really care, so you'll least suspect that I'm the one who's responsible.
Yeah, it feels
this.
Weird that he's even in the scenario to begin with.
It
like
is
he could
of
just
strange.
Been, he could have been like a Dr. Claw, just watching a TV,
yeah.
and you see the back of his head for the whole movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, the story, again, is just, like, third to
the
story.
Let the story
everything.
Slide.
It's fine.
I just want to make you love this movie as much as I do, but you already have these reservations from the beginning, which I understand. I mean, I have those with similar movies as well, where it's mm-hmm. like, well, no, fuck those people. They like that movie, and I don't like them, and yeah.
Well, that's a whole subsect of my personality. That's, like, a cornerstone of my personality.
No,
it's just spite.
You like that. Like, I don't like that.
Do you have any specific moment in the movie that's, like, your funniest, or can you give me, like, your top three?
Okay. Yeah, but are we talking, like, scenes? Are we talking little? Just because that movie's, it's little stuff for me now at this point.
Well, what are the top three things, regardless of what they are, just that pop out as soon as you think of Dumb and Dumber?
Okay. When he's
running
in the car. Yeah, so there's a song that's going, I forget what the song is. I wish I knew
the band. It's the montage when they're first getting on the road.
Because here I come. And then Lloyd starts running while they're like driving in the car, and he's just moving his arms, and the swishiness is going with the beat of the song. I just always noticed that when I was a kid.
It's funny. That was probably my favorite part as a kid. Yeah. Was him running, just the image of him, like, and the sound of the swish.
It's the character just being so over the top that
he's a master physical comedian.
Right.
Always. Like, even from the opening scene, like sticking his head out the limo window, and like when he's rolling the window back up, gets his head stuck.
Yeah,
he goes the wrong way.
That's the best part of the scene.
Oh, it's so good.
Jim Carrey, he actually, when he was in elementary school, he got in a fist fight and he chipped his tooth, and then he popped off the cap for this movie.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
He popped it off again for the second one.
That's awesome.
I don't know, favorite scenes anymore. They're all just kind of one thing. I love the scene that you said goes on for too long when he's daydreaming.
Dream sequence? I love that sequence.
Like how this movie could go into a 10-minute dream sequence that's just three different parts, you know, of him goofing off with Mary's family and lighting a fart and being ridiculous. And then
what does he throw in his face? He just throws like ash in his face and he just makes like a
bunch of
face.
Nuts. It's like a bunch of like peanuts. And then putting his hand through the chef and then grabbing his heart out.
Kali Ma situation.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And then I don't know, that kiss still makes me uncomfortable, but it's pretty funny.
It's a very weird scene to watch in 2018. There's a lot of the stuff in this movie where you're like, okay, well, I got to get in my 1994 headspace of being five.
Yeah, knowing this is very wrong.
Yeah, and it's like, it's fine. Like, it's a comedy. I get it. Like, you know, like, lighten up bullshit. There's a lot of that where I'm like, I feel uncomfortable laughing at this, but
Lloyd is a total sex pervert.
He's a bad person.
Lloyd is kind of the villain of this movie, other than the fact that he doesn't kidnap a human being.
Yeah.
It was just like, blind ignorance, too. He is like a child, and that's kind of, he has no idea, but he should, you know?
And his first reaction when he sees his the husband is to shoot him, is to steal a police officer's gun and shoot him.
He's got a gun! the other favorite scene for me would probably be what is he doing? When he first sees Mary and he has that moment where he touches her on the lips and he says, just go. That whole part right there. And then he's driving in the car and he gets into I love that scene the most, I think.
Every time that comes on, you just smile when that scene in the movie is like getting going.
When he gets hit by the car, and he's reaching out and then the airbag pops out.
Goodbye, my love.
Just the way he like tries to bite the airbag to pop it, and it won't pop. So like he's just so good. Like there's a lot about this movie that I like. As much as I have a bitterness towards it and say I don't like it, there is a lot to like and a lot that I find funny. I don't know. Even aside from the bitterness towards other people and my spitefulness, I feel like there is something there where it's like it's just not funny enough for me to love it. And it's like one of those movies where like Blazing Saddles is a movie that I adore.
Okay.
I get why it's insanely problematic. Devin, and it's not a movie I'm gonna be
It is, but I love it.
It's hilarious.
I love that movie.
But I mean there's those movies where I'm like, okay, it's old style comedy. A lot of, like, in Blazing Saddles, the old style of comedy that just doesn't age well. And I feel like a lot of this doesn't age well.
I think it ages a bit better than a lot of older movies, like, from the same era.
Yeah, it's not
comparatively.
It's not terrible.
It's pretty, it's a pretty, I think this is a pretty good, timeless kind of movie. But there are some things that stand out, like the whole, like, Seabass, like, rape thing.
I was confused as to, okay, so I'm like, okay, so he's definitely going to rape him. But it's like, he traveled two states to do that? Like, obviously it wasn't planned that it was going to be Lloyd, but like, that's a weird thing. Like,
well, he's a trucker. That's,
I guess, yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, it's good hugely he's coincidental time, that he showed up. Yeah.
He's a very good trucker.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's probably the biggest one to me. I don't really see anything like outside of Lloyd being a huge sex pervert. Like,
yeah,
the whole hot tub scene, when he's listening through the walls.
That's not in the movie we saw.
See, that's the edited the edited version. In that actual scene, it goes on to him like listening to people like having sex through the walls and like.
That happens in the edited version?
No, in the unedited.
Yeah.
Why would you buy a VHS that was edited?
It's not even really like that. There's the safe for TV version, which doesn't even have him like ripping out the heart of the chef, or it doesn't have. It's lacking a lot of stuff. And then there's the normal VHS, and then I think there might be director's cut. That's got
a
bunch of these other scenes, like when Seabass hawks a loogie into his burger, you actually see like the loogie drip from his mouth.
I was gonna say it cut away as soon as
it does a lot of those kind of weird. You know, and that's kind of an important scene almost, it seems like. Not the loogie scene, the scene you're talking
about. The hot tub, yeah. They do that part, but it's like right after they're talking about that stuff, Lloyd's like listening through the wall, listening to like people basically.
I like to imagine that's the same place in Bride of Chucky where they break the mirror on the ceiling.
I guess that hotel is the same hotel. It's a Stanberry Hotel from The Shining.
The Shining is the Outpost.
It's the Outpost.
Outlook Hotel.
Outlook Hotel's out. So this was.
It's the Outlook Hotel in the story of The Shining.
Are you talking about the hotel at the end of the movie where they're staying?
You remember when Jordan
Aspen?
Walked in while we were watching it and he was like, that hotel looks familiar.
Yeah, in Aspen.
Yeah, in Aspen.
Yeah, not the Outlook Hotel.
He's not.
Not from Shining.
That's not from the one. That's what I.
It's too small.
About.
No. I mean, maybe they shot some of the interiors there, but I don't know. I don't think
it's the out the exterior.
Devin, you have internet on your phone right now. Look it up.
I do. My data is slow though.
Mine is
resets
down
until
to a
tomorrow.
Crawl.
Let's not worry about it.
It's not worry.
I don't have the
important.
Internet right now, so I use 3 gigs of data in 2 days.
Let's just make up our own facts.
I think
Stanley Kubrick was gay, and he didn't want anybody to know about it. That's why he had 2 children and a wife.
Jim Carrey would have been a better Joker than Jack Nicholson, speaking of
I think that Jared Leto's Joker movie that was just announced the other day is going to be the best movie of all the Batman movies. Speaking of, I've been going, since I don't have the internet, I've been going through all the Christopher Nolan Batman movies.
Oh, nice.
Because Dark Knight is 10 years old this month.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, in July, so next month.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts.
That just means we're old.
Oh no, we're old as shit. I specifically remember going to that midnight premiere.
Yeah.
And that opening where the bat flies through the blue flames and there's no sound. Yeah. I looked up and I was like freaking out. I'm like, there's no sound in this movie. I can't. Heath Ledger's he needs to talk. That's the whole point.
They should do a silent Batman film.
Sign language.
They do. There's a really great silent comic book issue.
You guys should do a silent podcast. I still think that should be a thing.
All right, you got anything to plug?
that would be a pretty good idea, I think.
So, like, you have to listen to it by Braille.
Beep, 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 beep.
No, no, that's not Braille.
That's Braille.
We're just signing
Braille
to each
makes
other.
No noise.
That's audio
because
Braille.
Braille is for the deaf. No, it's not. It's for the blind.
Oh man,
we're really good
at
facts.
Is it Queens of the Stone Age record? Music for the deaf.
Also, yeah, we're better to the blind though than Lloyd Christmas. That's for sure.
That was a really upsetting.
That was kind of problematic.
Scene.
Yeah,
like
I always laughed at that
joke.
Growing up.
Yeah, it's a dark joke and it's funny. Like,
well, that one's fine.
In context, like the fact that he used duct tape or scotch tape to tape the head back on. Yeah, his head popped off. You know, it's like he's just getting old. Like, there's funny aspects to it, but I'm just like it would have been funnier, I think, if it was an old guy as opposed to an old child that was also in a wheelchair. I know they're like doubling down.
Yeah.
But
you gotta hit them hard, you know, if you're gonna do it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just like, I don't know. The whole thing about it was like, it wasn't. If you're going to double down on it and put a blanket in a wheelchair petting a dead bird that doesn't have a head, have him pet it and then have the head fall off. Like go all
the
way.
Fall off.
Yeah, while he's petting it.
Yeah.
Like there's no reaction. Like the funny thing isn't that he, because it seems like you're making fun of the kid for being so stupid, as opposed to if you were to have him do something that is so obvious, like have him react to the fact that it's dead.
Yeah,
have like, him realize that,
yeah,
that it's
like dead. Don't make him an idiot. Don't make him the butt of the joke.
That's fair.
Yeah, because later on in the movie they did the interview with him and he's crying. He's like, I just thought he was real quiet.
And that's like, it's the joke there isn't even that. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like a callback there.
Yeah.
But then the joke is like, what are these monsters? And they just cut to them both trying to pine
but
for
it
her
is
love.
But that self, yeah. But the self-awareness too at the same time of like, to put that joke in there, like they are monsters.
Yeah.
You know, but they're just.
Oh, no, for sure.
They're just ignorant monsters.
Yeah. But I mean, again, like it's Lloyd that's a monster because Harry doesn't even know that he sold the bird.
Yeah.
You know, Harry's worst aspect is that he gets dumbly angry. He gets a blind rage.
The whole time, he just wants Lloyd to be happy until it gets to the
until
point
he
where,
just like decides not to for some
well,
reason.
Well, I mean, that's after, you know, the glove situation. Like, he had two gloves this
yeah,
whole
that's
time.
Fair.
That's after
yeah.
Harry or Lloyd took the car in the wrong direction
mm-hmm.
and went, you know, John Denver's full of shit scene. Like, yeah. There's a lot of times where Lloyd just fucks up and constantly, and Harry's just putting up with it until it's too much.
Yeah. And that's entirely fair. I could see that being the catalyst for it. I guess I never really...
I think that's, like, Harry's dumb, and then Lloyd's dumber. You know what I mean? Like, in its own way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, now I'm, like, thinking about it, like...
Because Harry can read.
Yeah. Lloyd can't even read.
That's fair. I feel like Lloyd is pretty manipulative, though. Huh. Like, now I'm, like, looking back on it, like, that whole scene of him, like, his monologue outside the window of, like, I'm tired of being alone or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that could have been entirely fake.
Yeah.
And I feel like it probably is.
It could have been written in a way where it's like, we want to make Lloyd into the monster in a way, but we want to make him naive and sweet.
Yeah.
But
I like that idea. I just don't know if they ever got there.
I don't know. I kind of want to think that they did, but
yeah,
who knows if it translated as well as it could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I like the idea of making, like, this your best friend being a monster, but he's still
that.
Your best friend.
You can't
oh,
do
yeah.
that with this kind of movie, though.
Well, no, like, that's not the ambition they have.
Right. Like, let's just make it funny.
Yeah.
Let's not worry about
well,
that.
Yeah,
they didn't give a fuck about that.
The line after meaning. He finds out, after Lloyd finds out when he finally is around Harry again, and he's like, to think I've been going through so much pain and anguish. This hell.
This hell.
They're such hell.
Such hell.
That's pretty manipulative. I mean, but at that point, he's like, he's justified in trying
I
to get revenge.
I love that show.
I wish I had a list of all of them.
Justified.
Wow.
When was the first time you watched this, Devin? Like, what's your history with this thing?
Yeah. I watched it, like, from a really young age. Like, probably was 7 or 8 when I first saw it.
Yeah.
And,
on VHS?
Most likely,
I guess
yes.
That's kind of fitting that we watch it on VHS too.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys are trying to appeal to my aesthetic right now. And I
wanted to sell you on it.
Watch on VHS on like a 60-inch TV.
Yeah, that was. I was gonna bring that up. Of like, remember that time in like the late 90s when people had huge quote unquote flat screens?
Yeah.
In the sense of their screen wasn't domed, but it went back 60 feet.
Yeah.
But like, but they still hook a VHS player up to it.
Yeah. I just saw something where somebody did like 12 different connections to hook up an Apple TV to like...
Yeah, the retro TV.
Yeah, to the retro TV. I was like, holy Ooh. Shit, that's like it's skill awesome. Right there.
It is
yeah.
cool.
But no, I love this movie from the get-go from a young age. Like when I was younger, a lot of different things... There was a lot of different things that were funnier to me then that aren't now. Like mm-hmm. the bird thing wasn't as funny or was more funny. The first time I watched it, but I don't know, I still just love it. And like you, Ben, like you said, I pick apart the little things now, and like every time I watch it, there's little things that I appreciate more and more,
mm-hmm.
and just never gets old to me. Like mm-hmm. I've seen this movie so many times and never, like, not one part really gets old. I don't know.
Yeah, I could watch it again right now.
Yeah, I totally could. I think it's Jim Carrey's amazing from a physical humor, timing, comedic timing, even like the sad scenes, he like makes you feel for him. Jeff Daniels is amazing, and like their chemistry together is like something that I think they got lucky.
They're very good
finding.
Together. Yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing together, and like they even made watching the sequel.
Well, I was
like
going to bring that
it.
Up. What is your guys' opinion on the sequel? I know it's pretty not liked, but
it's
I
not
mean, that's
as
coming
bad
after
as I thought it was going to be. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I'll say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since it came out. I remember watching it and being pretty unimpressed. But at the same time, I wasn't like, oh, this was a waste. It kind of was a waste of time.
They should have done it way earlier than they did. But
yeah, and
felt like a real cash grab. I never saw it, but like, it did just feel even like watching a the cash grab.
Yeah,
big time. Felt like a cash grab, and and I didn't like the plot line. I wish they didn't base it off of like some that
offhanded conversation.
All the relationships, like, yeah. Like I don't know. It didn't seem as much like an adventure that as the first.
Did they look as sad and old as they do in the trailers? Because I watch the trailers, and I'm like, oh my god,
they don't look like. Too,
yeah. I mean, both the Jeff Daniels and Jim Carrey look pretty okay for their age, but then they try to age them down, and it just looks sad.
Yeah.
It's like trying to age down Pee-wee in the new Pee-wee movie.
Yeah,
where it's like I love that new Pee-wee movie, but he still looks like a 60-year-old man.
Yeah. Can't hide that.
Did you guys see the prequel?
Yeah, the prequel's awful.
I saw it in theaters. I remember seeing it by myself. I mean, the best part of that movie is Bob Saget.
Yeah,
remember? I don't recall.
Yeah, because they get all the chocolate everywhere in the bathroom. He's like, "There's shit all over my." And he just the joke is that basically he just keeps saying shit a lot.
Bob Saget.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, cool. It's that guy from Full House.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was real bad.
It's bad
because they're like in the like mentally handicapped class in school.
Yeah,
and stuff,
no. See,
and
you want to talk that one? I remember that now. Like that whole concept, that was bad. Like,
yeah,
that was pretty messed up.
It really is. It's like Revenge of the Nerds, but for the special ed class.
They make them, and these guys aren't supposed to be looked at as, you know, they're not mentally challenged. They're just
dumb.
Yeah,
they're dumb. And once you start trying to cross that line, that's rough territory.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. No. But Shia LaBeouf's in that movie. It's like one of his first movies.
Really?
I mean, it's after Holes, but yeah.
Let's talk about
weird.
Holes. Holes is great.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, I was all about it.
Yeah.
I like Holes.
Sigourney Weaver's in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to rewatch that. Let's see if that's on anywhere. Once I get the internet back.
Still have that book, I think.
Yeah, I remember my mom tried to borrow the book from me once. I let her borrow it, and it just sat on her shelf for 3 years. She never read it.
Do we have anything else to say about Jim Carrey? Did we
change your mind? Did I help?
No, we'll get into that in a little bit unless we're on final opinions.
Yeah, do we have anything left to talk about? Anyone want to talk about Jim Carrey's recent career and self?
I'm just really bummed out about that. Like, I watched. Have you watched the documentary?
I haven't.
I loved it.
It's very good. It's very, very good.
Yeah.
But then you just hear him talk.
I'm talking about Jim and Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just hear him talk, and sometimes it's like, okay, I get it. You went to college. Like it sounds like a college freshman just, like, learning about, like, philosophy.
Okay.
I mean, like, some of it makes sense. And, I understand and somewhat agree with it.
Yeah.
What he's saying. But there's also a part of me that's like, one, you're coping with a very serious issue that happened in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrible. And I'm like, it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also not dealing with the direct factor, and you're trying to disassociate.
Mm.
Obviously I'm not a professional by any means, but like that's exactly what it seems like. But then there's part of me like where it's like, yeah, no, sure, cool. Maybe don't use those wordings. Maybe don't be as aggressive. It's like a vegan who just started being vegan. You know, like it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. Like you're right, veal is awful and terrible. But let me get there on my own.
But I mean, being Jim Carrey and to have the platform that he has and to say, to speak like that to a large audience, I think that's important. It's not, and you almost have to use those words in that kind of way in order to get your point across to a, I don't know if he's thinking about it like that, but that's kind of one of the reasons why I liked it. It's like, oh, I understand where you're coming from. And maybe it is bad what he's doing in one sense, but it could also be very helpful in another. And it's, that's life, though. It's just a constant trade-off of that. But I liked it for that reason, just to be able to potentially speak, I don't know, speak to a large number of people.
Yeah. I think the thing with that, though, is like it feels like he's speaking down a lot. Like, did you see his Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee episode?
Yes. I didn't see it.
That one was kind of messed up.
When he's talking to the waitress.
Yeah,
he's like, what's your name? It's like Deborah or something. He's like, oh, that's nice, but that's not really who you are.
Right.
And no, she's like, no, good. I like my name. He's like, you'll learn. I'm no, like, you know, go fuck yourself, dude. Like, get out of here.
But it is, like, I think he's still trying to deal with, like, that.
Oh, for sure.
And also being Jim Carrey and being that kind of person that's very outlandish. It's like, hey, you're an asshole, but.
But anyway, it's followed by him, like, shaking hands and, like, kissing babies at the end of it, you know, like, in that same diner. Of like all these old women coming up, he's like, "Oh, I love you so much," and all these things, and he's like super nice about it. Like he understands who he is, or who his persona is, you know, like whatever he wants to, whatever word he wants to use for it.
The face I wear.
Yeah, yeah. It's just it's a weird bittersweet thing because like it's nice to see that he's not taking himself seriously, but he's now also taking himself super seriously at the same time, and it's. I don't know. It's
but it's hard. Interesting.
Almost. Yeah, no, it's for sure. Right? It's I mean, car wrecks are interesting, but like, I don't want him to be a car wreck. I don't want him to be another celebrity who just crashes and burns.
I don't think he is. I think he's doing something like rather than just becoming a drunk, you know, which I'm sure he was for a while. But at the same time, it's like he could just die. Somebody like Jim Carrey, that strong kind of personality. Drink yourself to death or overdose
for
any
sure.
number of things.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he ever had that issue, though.
Yeah,
like
he's had some issues.
He's
had some drug issues?
Big pill issues.
Yeah, with during like the Jenny McCarthy years and stuff, wasn't it?
I believe so. Number 23.
You gotta do something when you're dealing with Jenny McCarthy.
But I don't know. I'm very curious to see his new show coming out because I think it's going to deal with a lot of this stuff. It's about, he plays like... children's TV star who's like falling from grace pretty much.
Truman Show.
And I think that's what it's called. Yeah. but I think it's going to deal with a lot of this character realizing what fame is and a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm curious to see like how like some of his like wackier
existential
stuff creeps into the show.
I'd love to see like wacky existentialism in him. Like that's, I would love to see him do what he's doing, but still be funny.
Yeah,
and still want to entertain people. And I don't think he doesn't want to. I don't think he would have made that movie if he didn't want to. Because I mean, he produced that movie. Like he could have easily just said no to the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I want to see him like both be the Jim Carrey we knew and the Jim Carrey he is.
Okay.
You know, and find a good mixture of that. But I mean, like. Not to shoehorn this name in there, but like I feel like he's kind of the moderately healthier version of what Kanye is doing now.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like have you heard, I'm assuming you've heard the new Kanye album.
Yes, I have.
I really like it. But like,
same.
It's him dealing with that bipolar issue, you know, and him kind of being more out front with it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a really unhealthy streak in, especially in Yikes.
Yeah.
Where he calls it his superpower.
Oh, yeah. Jim Carrey definitely, his ego is, I think, way less than what Kanye's is.
Well, of course. I mean, but I feel like they're two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
You know, like where Kanye took his ego and now he's understanding that his ego is stemming from mental health issues and he's embracing that.
Yeah.
As opposed to running away from it when he used to.
Yeah.
I feel like Jim Carrey has... Again, I don't want to like misdiagnose. I don't want to be that guy, but I feel like he does have mental health issues that he is running away from by disassociating with his existentialism.
Yeah.
Not to say that just because you're an existentialist, you have mental health issues, but like I feel like there is that aspect of it.
I think so. I think it's like part of what happens when you become woke. Or you think you become woke, like from either standpoint, like if you choose to look at it as, you can either choose to look at it as I'm great because I'm like this, or I have to be like this because this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you choose the route of I'm great because I know more than other people, I think that's where you take the wrong path and you're no longer as woke as you think you are.
Gotta be humble.
You gotta sit down. You gotta be humble.
I think what we're all trying to say is Kendrick Lamar is where we need to be.
Yes. And
just see where he's at 15 years,
which I think Kanye realized when he started making some of his new music.
This album was very Kendrick Lamar. Just like,
but a lot of people are realizing that too. The J. Cole is super Kendrick Lamar-esque. But no, it's like, yeah, you really do got to be humble, and you have to like realize that we, like, I think they've both realized like life and the world and everything is bigger than who we are and who our celebrity is. And, like Kanye's embracing it. Like he's finally becoming a little bit more humble. I think like on this album, he straight up is like, she told me not to do all this crazy shit, and I did.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. And
I do like how he opened up on this new record. I think
it's really bold opening.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very good. It's a good record.
Yeah, I think Jim Carrey is doing it the right way in a sense. Like for a little bit when he first came out with it, he was being that outlandish, trying to shock people with acting crazy and mm-hmm. giving these crazy red carpet interviews. And
TMZ stuff.
Yeah. And
do you remember that one? He went on a, what was that talk show? He went on a talk show and he was like super racist or something when he came out. He was acting like really drunk. Jim Carrey did.
I don't remember.
Jim Carrey did this?
Yeah, it was really...
Was it recently?
Really? No, this is 90s. And yeah, he just came out like acting really drunk and he's falling on the ground and he said something.
Vaguely remember that.
Who was it? What was his name?
I went down a Jim Carrey hole like a few months ago after watching Jim and Andy.
Which hole?
His butthole. but
nice. Hey.
We're back on track. We're back to the second shot again.
Yes.
Nice.
I do vaguely remember him going, because there was that, was it on Arsenio?
It was on Arsenio.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, there was a whole thing.
His agent was like, I don't know what
to, I think it was right after, was it after, what the fuck is it called? Ace Ventura. Or, I'm sorry, Ace Ventura 2.
Might have been, yeah. I can't recall.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
I'm just gonna look that up again.
It wasn't The Mask.
Jim Carrey gets so much, street cred from the African-American audience. Like,
he's funny.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's funny. He, I mean...
He's Canadian.
Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, gets to go to Africa.
Oh, that's true.
The whole movie.
Nice.
Have you guys ever...
Tommy Davidson in it. Oh, he was in Living Color.
Yeah, have you guys ever seen In Living Color?
Yeah. That was
Fire Marshal Bill.
There's some
Fire
really Marshall good stuff. Bill. I mean, it's problematic, but it's very funny. The training, the physical exercise training, where it's very obviously just supposed to be a woman on steroids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's just Jim Carrey.
Yeah,
Hi, I'm Denise, or, you know, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, that's totally, like, elements of that in Ace Ventura,
yeah.
I think. But, yeah, he's great on that show. That's another thing an angle we didn't attack.
Yeah, he was the funny white guy on the show.
Yeah.
It's a lot of good things to say about Jim. There's a lot of tough... bad things to say about Jim, but I think, yeah, it's...
Yeah, I mean, we can all bring up the number 23, but
yeah,
well. Everybody loves a good Schumacher PG-13 thriller.
Eternal Sunshine, though.
Well, that's the thing. It's like he's a really good actor.
Yeah.
In the same way, like, Adam Sandler can be a really good actor.
I think he's better than Adam Sandler.
Oh, for sure. And every single aspect, he's better than Adam Sandler. But I feel like there's... And Chris Farley has done, oh my God, Uncle Buck.
John Candy.
They're all like these really great dramatic actors because comedy takes dramatic chops because you have to know what is dramatic about a scene to make it funny.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, like it's, I am interested in seeing more of Jim Carrey being dramatic in the right aspects. Like I don't think he's right for a thriller, like the number 23. Yeah. Like, I want to see him do these quirky, weird things.
Didn't he
like,
just do that one new movie where he's an FBI agent or something, and it's really dark?
No one saw that movie. That was, like, a straight-to-VOD.
It's already out.
That, like, yeah. I think it'll probably be on Google Play next week. Like,
yeah. I'll still watch it, but...
Yeah, it's Jim. Like, I mean...
It's Jim.
I mean, you can watch number 23, but...
That one's tough. It's really tough.
It's just not a good movie. I think that's, like... Because there's, like, an interesting... like thread there, but just linking everything by the number of 23,
right.
It's just not like, it's not cinematic.
Yeah,
like true. It's like that movie Knowing with Nicolas Cage,
who also was asked to play Lloyd Christmas.
Really?
Nicolas
I would have watched
Cage.
The fuck out of that movie.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
There's a lot of people. Gary Oldman was asked to play Lloyd Christmas. Turned it down. I'll turn him down.
Oh my god!
I want to watch like Bizarro, Dumb and Dumber. Like this should be.
Yeah, I want to go to Earth like 7 and see Nick Cage doing Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah,
it'd be weird.
They need to start like you do that in like Broadway all the time. You do the same story, different yeah. actors. Let's do that in film now. Like, no. like it's
that's what remakes are.
Yeah, but let's do it way more rapidly. Let's do Dumb and Dumber once
every
a year.
Every season.
Every year, Dumb and Dumber.
Filming three of them at a time.
Yeah.
Same sets.
It's like
just, okay, yeah. now get them over here. We're going over there. Okay, bring them back over here. Bring the new guys.
It's like Danny Boyle's Frankenstein. Like every night, they just switch roles.
Yeah.
So Benedict Cumberbatch is now Frankenstein.
Like, think about
it's
that.
White Christmas.
Nick Cage and Harlan Williams, Dumb and Dumber. What would that be like?
I don't know. It could be great.
I honestly, give me Harlan Williams in anything but Rocket Man, and I'm cool. Like, I also don't like how or what's the Harlan Williams and Dave Chappelle?
Half Baked.
Half Baked.
Yeah.
Not a big. I just don't like stoner comedies. But yeah. like,
that one's different.
Yeah, it's definitely a cut above.
Yeah.
It's up there with like Cheech and Chong and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, just doesn't appeal to me. That's my own personal thing. But
no, we have to get into this. Maybe not on this podcast.
If you want to come back for Half Baked, I'm cool. I haven't watched Half Baked since I was 17.
I love Half Baked.
It's great. And it's no Dumb and Dumber, but it's great. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, let's get into final opinions and we'll get out of here because I know you guys want to watch the game.
Oh, yes. So. I do want to watch the number 23.
No, I thought you wanted to watch the game, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Michael Douglas. So, Devin, is this a hit or a miss for you?
I want to watch Like Mike starring Bow Wow.
Oh, shit. Like Mike 2? The Streets?
This is still a hit. This is a forever hit for me. Forever and always, Dumb and Dumber. Faux Life, Jim Carrey, Lloyd Christmas, Harry Dunn.
Jeff Daniels.
Coming at you.
Harry Dunn.
Coming at you. I don't have to say anymore. This movie was the whole reason why I came onto a podcast. So I love it. I might have to get in a fight with George after this if he doesn't agree with me.
Yeah, last but not least, this is the moment of truth. This is the moment of truth.
We'll go on the front lawn.
I think we gained some ground, Ben. I think we really did.
I think we
gained some ground
a little bit.
And so let's, George. What is your final thought? Hit or miss?
I guess it's the lightest of hits. It grazed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Like I definitely changed in the sense of like I used to say I hate this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate it. It's fine. You know, it's not a movie I'm gonna ever go back and watch on my own. Mm. But if, like, you know, you guys are over and we're having beers or whatever, and it's like, oh, let's turn on Dumb and Dumber, I'm like, all right, fine.
What if you've been in, like, a hospital bed for a week and a half? And
I mean, there's probably, in all likelihood, I've been on TV
four
about
VHSs.
Six times. It's about TBS right? about five times.
What if your dog grooming business goes under and you need to find out what
I
to
do? I
do
need
that
song.
Yeah.
I do need that song when I'm driving.
Comb through them.
Just jumping over a cliff or whatever the fuck happened to that.
Spent my life savings on turning my truck into a dog.
It's a shaggin'
wagon. It's a
good shit.
Yeah, I mean it's a graze. It's fine.
Okay. That's a win, Ben. I think
we
won.
I'll take it as a positive.
Yeah.
I can sleep happy tonight.
And so the final thing we do on our show is ask our guests what they would like to plug, any projects they're working on that they would like to
advertise.
Doing a
good job hosting, Devin.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Trying to think of something funny, but the moment's passed.
You blew it.
Old Souls is going to put out a new record.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I forgot you're in that band. My little my brother plays drums in that band.
Yeah.
Little brother.
And I play the little guitar.
You play the guitar.
Nick plays the little bass.
And you guys both play the little microphones
and
with your voice.
We play the microphones. And then Youth Palette, Nick and I's other band, we're going to put out a new record really soon. And that's cool. And then we're going to tour. And then it's going to be Dumb and Dumber across the country. You know?
Nice.
You're going to tour with Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, we're going on our own Dumb and Dumber.
Why don't you start your own band called Dumb and Dumber?
Dumb and Dumerica. Dumb and Dumerica.
Nice.
Freedom.
We should just call our show Dun and Dunner.
Dun and Dumber.
Oh.
But it's just all about me. Just talking to me.
Yeah, so just find us on Facebook. I hate saying.
Yeah, find them
yeah.
Old Souls and them Youth Palettes.
It's not very
Youth Palettes on the internet.
You know what? I'm taking the Facebook page down. I'm taking it down. Taking both of them down.
Bandcamp.
Don't even look.
Exclusive. News.
You just got to find us on cassette at your nearest
bar.
All those cassettes they have at bars.
Yeah, we have a lot of cassettes.
They're right next to the
Just go to the Terry Moore and you'll find it.
Yeah, go to Terry Moore.
They have a decent patio for a dive bar. Devin, you got anything?
Yeah, I'm going to be starring in an Old Souls video, music video. Check that out soon. Yeah, I think we're filming in like 2 days.
Three days.
Saturday, right?
We've been writing. That'll be fun.
I still have no idea what I'm doing. All I know is that I have to groom myself.
You're gonna be naked the whole time.
That'll be a
video.
First.
Oh, nice. Naked.
Yeah, naked.
I'm really good
for listeners
myself.
Of the show. Devin usually looks like he just walked out of the woods every time he comes in to record.
Oh yeah, and most of the time that's 100% what I just did before I walked in to record.
Yeah, you look just like Robin Williams in Jumanji. It's like, what year is this?
What year is this? How long have I been in the game?
It's only been a week. You're on a podcast. You should know what year it is.
I'm Jack Black. My character is a girl. This is weird.
That's Jumanji 2, Back to the Jungle. Welcome to the Jungle, sorry. They're doing a double feature this summer for Fathom Events, and I'm definitely going to go.
I still have to see that movie.
It's fun. You don't need to spend money on it, but it's fun. Okay.
I'll watch it when they put it on Netflix.
Yeah, whatever. You're not missing anything. SecondShotPod@gmail.com. Facebook, Instagram, it's all SecondShotPod. Twitter. We have a number. It's in the show notes.
Yes.
I should probably remember this at this point. It's been almost a year. But leave us some voicemail. We haven't gotten a voicemail in a while. I would love to throw something on the at the end of the episode or in the middle.
Yeah.
I hope.
In the beginning.
Yeah. I forgot her name. I hope Gail calls again.
Oh,
at
yeah.
Some point. We haven't gotten a Gail call.
I know. I miss Gail.
Yeah. We're starting to get like spam or telemarketers, but we're not getting any Gails.
I know.
Play them. That could be cool. Yeah.
I know. Like, we never actually found out what went down in the puzzle room. Or did we?
No, we didn't. They just had a book. Their book meeting in the puzzle room, and we never found anything else out. So,
because I thought Bruce,
if you hear it, like, please let us know. But. Yeah, just give us a call. Follow us. I don't know what we're going to be doing next week, but we'll be back next week with the person talking about a thing.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. This is
or,
fun.
Yes, thank you for coming
on. Thank you for coming on,
Ben. It was very good. Yeah. It was a very interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a conversation about the Farley brothers this enlightening in a while.
Oh,
so.
Cool.
Or good. Ever? I don't feel like people talk about the Farley brothers that much, so maybe rightfully so, but...
Kingpin is a great movie. Osmosis Jones.
I've been hearing a lot of talk about their Three Stooges movie as being really underrated.
I might give that one a second shot. That might be.
I never saw it. I remember working at the theater. But
me either, but I grew up loving the Three Stooges.
So. See, I didn't.
Okay.
So maybe we'll talk about that next week. I don't know.
That could be good.
But yeah, we'll be back next week with another beautiful episode of The Second Shot. You're the host. I don't know why.
Yeah. We'll be back next week with another beautiful episode of Second Shot.
Second Shot.